League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, and I always say this, if we aired and filmed the stuff that goes on in commercial breaks, oh, my goodness.
Well, first of all, someone texted and was like, Barry has never talked this long about any one thing on this show.
It's kind of where Nick and I were going with that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating. This dude has a 2-foot donger.
First of all, he said, "Hey Nick, did you hear what he said?" He goes, "It's fascinating."
Fascinating.
You said fat first, like you were looking at the pictures again.
I said fascinating.
Whoa, and then he got something caught in his throat.
Joel.
Wow.
He's having way too much fun right now.
But I've never seen him have this much fun.
I know. He's pretty excited.
So. Unlike you, who did in-depth research on your topic, I knew that I had seen that Lisa and I saw this show at one point, and then I wanted to check and verify. Like, I had heard he had passed away, so I did the search, found it. The guy's name was Wesley Warren.
He passed away because he wasn't about that baller life?
Ah! What?
All right.
Wow. And then there's that.
Go ahead.
So, again, this is... All right, so... There's a couple of medical terms for it. Scrotal elephantitis caused his scrotum to grow to a weight of 132.5 pounds and hang down a little below his knees.
Good Lord. After launching
a campaign to try and raise money for an operation to get this corrected, he was only able to raise $2,000. However, Dr. Joe Gelman of the University of Cal Irvine Center for Reconstructive Urology volunteered his services for free so that they could try and help Warren with his struggles. The entire thing was filmed by a British television crew for a documentary, The Man with the 10 Stone Testicles, which aired in the UK on Channel 4 in 2013. The surgery was in April of 2013, and free at last, unfortunately, a year later... March the 14th, he died from complications of diabetes.
Did they bury him next to his testicles?
It's quite possible. I'll leave that to you.
Did they take him off and bury him and then, like, no?
Here's the thing that got me. The operation was carried out on April 8th, 2013, by Gilman and three other surgeons who donated their time and expertise. His weight at this stage had increased to 552 pounds. Are you ready for this one? His penis was buried 1 foot inside his testicle sack. It's just, you can't make this up.
A foot
inside his grapes.
And see, and the other guy's like, see, you need to get some weights and tie it to the end of it.
And it's a lot easier than enduring blowing up to 552 and then enduring a 13-hour operation, which required all four surgeons to cut away his engorged scrotum simultaneously while carrying out skin grafts. They weighed it on a scale after removing it. 132.5 pounds.
That's insane.
So you can finally run again, and then within a year's time...
Well, you can finally, like, pee again without... Like going on an expedition find it.
It literally...
A foot inside.
Like, you are literally... Like peeing yourself. It's a foot inside.
That's what I said. He just pees and then he like tips over like he's pouring out a pitcher of Kool-Aid just into the toilet.
There was also a show on TLC. The show that we ended up seeing, which was like an hour long documentary called The Man with the 132 and a half pound scrotum.
You watch this? Who'd you watch this with?
We were flipping channels and found, and we saw this guy, and he gets out of a van.
You and Lisa?
Yeah.
Lisa's like, wait, stop flipping.
And you know, like, it's right in that, in that area where you get to, like, all of her Real Housewives and all the Bravo TV and everything like that. And all of a sudden, this dude, like, this van door opens, and this dude tries to step down, and we're like, whoa, something's not right there. And it just literally... it takes you in.
That is hilarious.
Oh, boy.
God, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to go through any of that. I'll never have the problem that either of those gentlemen have. Ever.
Poor Wesley Warren.
Why?
Because he had his great... He get the problem fixed, and within a year, he couldn't enjoy it. Terrible. So there's that. So you got your tripod story out of the way with Dr. Dre.
Hey, did you hear about Johnny Manziel's latest...
I did. Go ahead. Please carry on.
He... is now giving advice to Donald Trump mm-hmm. about dealing with Twitter trolls,
yep.
Which is pretty hilarious. It's like the dude is some sort of expert, which he is, but he tweeted to the president, and this was the exact tweet. Yo, POTUS, even I know to stay away from the notification section on Twitter. That bleep will drive you crazy. Lead the country and let them hate. And then someone kind of responded and was like, you know, somebody's right. And then he's like, well, there's real stuff going on. There's real bleep going on in the world. This is even dumber than selling Super Bowl selfies, which I thought was pretty funny that he's being pretty self-deprecating about it.
Yeah.
That he's like, yeah, this is dumber than selling selfies at a Super Bowl, whatever. Then, so he does that, and of course it blows up and people are talking about it. And then apparently he probably didn't follow his own advice, got off into the notification section because later he deleted or deactivated his Twitter account. So now he's just off Twitter altogether, just like a day or so after he tweets to Donald Trump about, hey, man, just relax and ignore it.
Or a day before he was wearing a Tom Brady jersey and full Patriots garb at the game in Foxborough.
Isn't it great to see that dude fanboying? Like
he looked like a little kid at the game.
Yeah,
and he said Martellus Bennett, his college teammate from A&M, got him the tickets, and they tweeted to each other after the game, and Bennett was hoping for him to someday make a return to the field.
I really thought after he got that Snickers commercial that his career was going to be
satisfying,
taken off.
See what I did there?
Joel's on it today, man. Rolling.
He's such a guy that always supports the person that's getting a lot of hate. You know, and Tiger Manziel. So like Trump, he's just supporting him because he's getting a lot of hate. You look at Tiger Woods. You saw him when he was going through all that trouble. He was wearing the Tiger Woods hat, you know, the cap. It's just because he gets so much hate. I think he wants to support anybody, but then this just kind of backlash, and you know, it wasn't a good idea for him to tweet that. So
hey, by the way, our boy Kurtlow,
seems
like he's ready to jump off the bandwagon.
Nope.
He's tweeting pictures and examples, as he puts it, examples of Harden's laziness on D. Turns the ball over, then doesn't get back. And all I keep thinking is, I saw James close the gap on Jason Terry for a layup last night and block a shot and thought, wow. I mean, that's simply put, that's what defense is. That's effort and making sure you get back. That was a hell of a block.
Yeah, we've also seen him make the block on one end, take the ball by himself all the way down the other side and score. So I mean,
I've also, though,
coast to coast,
to be fair, I've also seen him commit a turnover, have the ball stolen from him, and then just stand there and watching in disgust.
Yeah, I've seen him do that too. Yeah,
several times.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's where Kurtlow.
I feel like that comes
from
a lot when he starts to force the ball in the paint.
Yep.
And it's like the ball, the pass is like too fast for like the big man, either Nene or Capella. He gets really frustrated when they don't catch the ball, and he kind of just lays back and doesn't get back in defense.
Or even when he just gets stolen from him. I mean, it feels like I've seen several times where he's just quits on it.
Yeah, he just quits on it. But again, that's why I said Charles used to say a long time ago that defense is all about desire and determination and heart and hustle. I mean, it really is. I mean, the block should have showed everybody he can do it. It's just when he chooses to do it. But I think overall, you see what they've been able to do when they're on these big winning streaks, the two long winning streaks, is because they're playing great team defense. You see when you're giving up 127 points to the Bucks and you're not collapsing in the middle on the team that scores the most points in the paint, that it can catch you. So, again, I'm not hating on the Rockets. You look at it, and they've been on two long streaks that I said several times. Teams, any team in the league, if at the start of the season you say you're going to have two 10-plus game winning streaks, you're going to go, I'll take that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, now they've lost what, Nick? Like, I think they've lost three out of five or three out of – it's just –
Yeah, so they lost Bucks. They lost – they beat Memphis, lose to Golden State.
Lost to Miami, lost to Minnesota.
So, yeah, probably.
Three out of five?
Probably three out of five, something like that.
So –
Yeah, so Carlo can make his case. I didn't give him enough time. I kind of rushed him off the.
Barry, you'd have loved it. Nick was.
Were you being nasty?
He was nasty to Carlo. You guys cut him off.
Both you guys are gonna have to start being mean to everybody.
No,
stop. Like, stop being mean.
Actually, Carlo came on and the first thing he said,
"You're telling me stop being mean, and you love being mean to people."
The first thing he said was, "Go Pack, go!" Right when he got on the air.
Yeah, just
I would have hung up on his ass.
Yeah,
I'd have hung up on his ass so quick. Get off my damn phone line.
Like, when your favorite team gets eliminated. Crap. We're going to get Kurt Lowe on line one.
Okay, would it surprise you, Joel, if I'm watching the Falcons and the Packers?
Yes. Can we stop there?
That's not the question.
Oh, okay.
And when they're losing, the only thing I could think is, well, we don't have to talk about the Packers anymore on the show.
People were tweeting that.
I'm just confessing. I feel like I'm confessing a sin because I felt kind of bad, but I was like, well, thank God I don't have to hear about the Packers for another year.
There were several things that I accepted a long time ago, and one of them was whether it's a joke or it's real or it's everything in between, that I know that you hate it, and I also know that there's a segment of the people that hate it. It's because I saw the tweets about it. So, again, my bad for being honest and not lying to you and telling you that I'm just a diehard, Houston Texans. I want the Texans to win, but I've never hid the fact that I've grown up. I mean, unless they're playing the Packers. I want the Texans to win.
Oh.
And I've always said that.
Yeah, he's always said that, which is fair. All right. We'll take that.
I don't know if I believe him.
You don't believe he wants
the Rockets to win either.
You just love stirring it up, dude.
I was driving out of town thinking,
I
was driving out of town to San Antonio listening to you and Trap, and I'm like, why do they hate the Rockets so much? Why are they being so mean?
And I get lumped in.
Yeah.
I get lumped in. Like, y'all are talking like the Rockets. I'm like, we didn't even say half the things you're saying, caller.
Oh, callers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's saying this to you?
It was the caller. It was. I forgot.
Anyways,
okay.
I won't.
Because I always feel like somebody's watching me.
It's a good thing I'm here to prevent all you guys from hating on all of our Houston teams. I wish y'all could see Joel's face.
Seriously, I wish they could too to realize some of the stuff that I got to deal with. But again, they would. The reality would be the stuff that I have to deal with that I don't talk about on air.
But I swear to God, some of our favorite sports teams in Houston. I swear to God, if you start talking about nothing but the Bucks and the Brewers, I will throw myself out of this window.
I'm a huge Astros fan, and I have been for years, and I love watching them.
Oh, did you you want to talk about the Astros?
Yeah,
then?
So there's some baseball stuff. This is where most people will turn their radio because...
No, they won't.
Most people in Houston just don't stick with...
Give them a chance, Joel.
Let's try it.
Give them a chance.
Just like we talk more basketball than most, we'll talk baseball for you too because there's a lot of stories to be talked about, including one that got away that you might not be aware of, but in a very sad way. So we'll get to a lot of information and a lot of baseball with your Astros in the next segment, ESPN 97.5. Too much. Step on stage, the girls boo too much.
I guess it's because you run with lame dudes too much. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock as we continue to literally run the gamut of stories, both in and out of sports. See what I did there?
I did.
So we mentioned before the break that we were going to talk about the Astros. I've been a huge Astros fan for a long time, and obviously everybody's geeked up, as they should be, about what should be a very competitive and very exciting Astros season. I think that the one thing fair to say after the additions they made, McCann, amongst others, that the question, I think the only question remark really remains is the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Say.
And they avoided arbitration with Fires. They signed him to a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. But then.
Now, what does that say about Fister? Is he done?
I don't know.
Because I really thought from a consistency standpoint, there was a good portion of the year he was their most consistent pitcher.
Well, the thing that I saw said that they still have unsigned Marwin Gonzalez, Colin McHugh, and Will Harris. And if I gave you two of the three of those, which two would you take?
I'd take
these. Marwin Gonzalez, Colin McHugh, Will Harris.
Wow.
If you could sign two.
Yeah.
I think you got to sign Marwin Gonzalez of that list right
there. Marwin Gonzalez was such a valuable player because he could play pretty much every position.
He can. And he can fill in. That's why.
Switch hitter.
When they were hurt and they were banged up all around the infield, he gave them the ability. He can spell Altuve.
So then who do you pick of the last two?
I probably would. Will Harris fell off for what he did. If you look at Will Harris's numbers before he became the Astros closer for a short period of time, they weren't great. And it was like he was almost a surprise to some folks. And Colin McHugh has been pretty steady. Nothing fantastic. I mean, he won 19 games 2 years ago. But I would take McHugh because you really, right now, this rotation needs help. And that's so I really, I, of the again, three. Now, they could probably sign all three. And it's not a big deal. But I'm just saying, if you had to choose two, which one are you leaving off? I would leave off Harris.
Yeah, I felt like, and I wasn't aware till you said that McHugh was actually a free agent. And I thought, you know, here's another guy just like Keuchel. He's fully capable and has shown that he can be consistent and he can be really, really good. And then he had a little bit of a fall off last year. But I like what he brought to the table, and I'm kind of with you. They have a lot of bullpen help now, and bullpen was a strength for them last year. But for being an all-star and everything else that Harris brought to the table, I felt like he kind of fell off. And of the two, because you're going to eat up more innings with a McHugh, that I would probably go to a McHugh first and foremost.
Yeah.
And you got Devinsky. Devinsky's going to be interesting, too, because he can do long relief. He can start for you. He can give you short relief. He can fill a lot of roles. And obviously, if you made the move that you made to get your closer last year with Giles, you got to believe that sooner rather than later, it's just definitively his job.
Yeah, and when they've got a couple of options for arms in the rotation. They're just young, right? You've got Martis down at AA.
Right.
But they're and he's a really highly rated prospect, I think, a lot of people. But the problem is, or what it comes down to, is the Astros really needed an arm. And this I found something that said they pretty much, Jeff Luhnow pretty much said, they're probably done making additions this winter. So the article basically started, said, speaking with reporters yesterday, Astros GM Jeff Luhnow said that the team was likely done making big league additions this winter. This was from Jeff Kaplan in the Houston Chronicle. It said Luhnow is effectively saying the team is unlikely to add a big name pitcher such as Quintana, Archer, Gray, all of whom they've been courting or connected to lately. So
are you good with that?
Not a great look.
Because I heard as late as last week, Sonny Gray discussions had taken place. And I think Sonny Gray would again. But again, the fear that I have is, and you and I have been back and forth on this, I don't want them to give up anybody on the big league roster if they can avoid it to get somebody at this point. Because I really love who they have on the big league.
Well, I think everyone, like for the Quintana deal, they were wanting Bregman. And Astros said they're not trading Bregman for a starter, no matter what.
And I
that was
that.
Even back
and
when you, they were talking about...
You and I and AJ went round and round about that, too, because I understand the value, but a starting pitcher is every fifth day, and I just love what Bregman brings to the table as part of that core group that you keep together that can play for the next...
I mean, I would have traded Bregman for Sale or somebody like that, but I don't know that I would put Quintana and Sale in the same class. They're just not. I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. They're both great pitchers. But Sale is that one of those, you know, rare aces. I mean, he's in that rarefied air up there. And then there was talks of they're going after Danny Duffy and Yordano Ventura, who recently passed away.
Yeah, I mentioned that to you guys the other day. That's what really hit me, amongst other things, when we mentioned that Ventura had unfortunately passed away in the Dominican at the way to 25 years old is just ridiculously young.
Yeah,
and you know he had some issues with Kansas City because of the fact that they said he was temperamental. He liked to plunk guys, and when he plunked them with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, he was throwing up in the head and shoulder region. But overall, I mean, this guy won Game 6 of the World Series and, you know, just had a lightning arm. And at one point, I think it was like a month ago, I had read an article where when the Astros struck out in their attempts to try and get into the Sale discussions or Quintana discussions, that one of the first names popped up on their radar was Ventura.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were, that, like I said, Duffy from the Royals and Ventura were both on their radar.
as possibilities. And it's sad, man. It's a sad deal. They said he wasn't wearing a seatbelt during the rollover.
Oh, so there's more details now? Because at the time, bizarre thing to me
what I saw said that he wasn't wearing a seatbelt during the rollover. But either way, just so tragic, man. Just a tragic story.
No question, because Andy Marte, who was 31, 95 miles away, also in the Dominican, killed the same night in a car crash. And it got to the point where, which I didn't realize it was this bad. I mean, I think about, you know, you talk about in Germany and you talk about where you drive in the Autobahn and, you know, how fast you drive. But I was talking to friends of mine yesterday that said, even down Dominican and even in Mexico, that they go like 150 to 200 miles an hour, and that the Royals went so far to say after the story surfaced was the fact that they tell their players, because they have so many in their system from the Dominican, they don't even want them to drive when they go back home because it's that dangerous.
Well, there was, you know, you were talking about details. One of the things that I saw that was really, really bad, this was on Fansided, on Royals News. They said, according to the Kansas City TV station KSHB 41, a newspaper in the Dominican Republic wrote that the Kansas City Royals pitcher Yordano Ventura was robbed of his 2015 World Series ring and other personal items after his fatal crash. The report also states that bystanders found him alive and left him to die. Unbelievable.
So he was wearing the ring in the car crash,
and they looted it.
People looted it
from
him. That is despicable.
Now, you know, again, whether that's true or not, that's according to this article, which was according to a TV report, but unbelievable.
Golly,
and so sad.
Awful.
So tragic, man. Very sad for the Royals.
All right, so we've gotten some Astros talk in there, too. It depends on what you guys want to talk about. We've got a laundry list, so we can keep going, or we can backtrack on some things that you want to talk about. We've talked Astros, we've talked Rockets, we've talked Texans, we've talked logos, we've talked other things. And anatomically correct and not so much.
Bats and balls.
There you go. So we're knocking it around, and you're welcome to lace up the spikes and take the field. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, fellas, we got a half hour left to go in the show. It's Joel, it's Nick, it's Barry. We're here, you're here. It's our time.
I just realized, did we even have a call today?
No.
I don't think we have we?
But it's kicking back.
As we
listening.
Speak, I think one is being put into the system. It looks
everybody
like.
Kicking back.
It's all right, but listening. We've had enough content for people to take it in.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre may have taken in more than he can chew. Never mind. But at the same time, you know what I'm talking about. So we've gotten to a lot of different topics today on the show.
One of the things that, we didn't talk about this at the break, but I just saw something that reminded me of it. Mm-hmm. Do we still have the Steve Kerr audio?
We do.
We do.
We do.
Did you hear this about him? What are your thoughts? Do you think that he was right? Basically, I guess play the audio.
Yeah, play
basically
the audio
what
first,
he said
Nick.
Was that it's a mockery of the All-Star.
Chose mine yesterday. I sent my ode in yesterday. Didn't alter anything. I am very disappointed in the players, though. I mean, they've asked for a vote, and a lot of them just made a mockery of it. So I don't know what the point is. So that was too bad. All in all, I think you know, these things are they're always going to be debatable about who's starting and who gets named. There's always going to be very worthy players left out of the starting lineup, left out of the roster entirely. It's the same thing every year, and I don't know what the perfect answer is.
What leads you to say that they made a mockery of it specifically?
I saw the list. You know, I saw all the guys who got votes, and I don't know. Were you allowed to vote for yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know, were guys voting for themselves? I mean, there were, you know, 50 guys on there who had no business getting votes. So although a lot of people wrote in their buddies for the presidential candidate vote as well. So maybe that's just, you know, your own way of making a statement. But I think if you're gonna give the players a vote, I think they should take it seriously.
You know what? And listening to the first part of that, and I did, to be honest, I didn't get to hear all of it till just now. The one thing that struck me was the transparency that I wasn't aware of. That literally they could see, and not necessarily saying that each individual player's vote tally, but when you see a list of all the guys that, you know, receive votes, and you realize that there is a large number that receive votes that probably aren't all-star caliber players.
So you're saying Dion Waiters?
Yeah.
Didn't deserve a vote?
Correct.
What?
Right. Although last night, based on what Dion Waiters thinks of Dion Waiters after he hit the game winner against the yeah. Warriors, he'll tell you he did.
Tyler Zeller? No?
No.
That one vote he got doesn't...
Because initially what? When I saw the headline, my first thought was, what more do you want? Curry is not having the year that Westbrook and Harden is having. I understand Kevin Durant. Are you trying to tell me Zha Zha should be in too? Because there was that whole push from Warriors fans that he's this unsung hero on this team and needs to be in there. Because that's ludicrous. And Clay, again, if there's one guy that's taken the most hits because of the fact that they added Kevin Durant, it's Clay Thompson, because his numbers are down. And so he's not quite the superstar status amongst people's opinions as he was a year ago. But overall, I was just trying to figure out what angle he was coming at, because I think that they're lucky to have Curry starting. Durant does deserve it. But again, my starting backcourt would have been Harden and Westbrook, hands down.
Yeah. And the rest of it, though, it just does seem silly. I do agree with Steve Kerr that the players have been asking for this. Let us vote. Let us have a say. We know every day we see these guys. And then you go out and you start voting for players like Ben Simmons who haven't even played.
Yeah.
What the hell? He got 3 votes. For what?
Yeah, exactly. 3. Like,
that
not
makes
just one.
No sense.
3. And that's a great point.
So he basically voted for himself and got 2 of his boys to vote for him. It's ridiculous.
And when you talk about that, and when you were first bringing this up, the first thing that came to mind was when Travis was talking about it, you know, they have votes for the Pro Bowl and for all pro teams. And he said, a lot of it is contingent upon when they ask you. He's like, if you just get done with practice and you're dog tired and you're dragging ass and someone goes, hey, before you leave, you have to fill out your votes. And he was honest and said, look, you know, you run the gamut and start thinking not of what kind of year the guys had. But he said he took, for example, Joe Thomas, the lineman with the Browns, and said, look, I wasn't even sure, you know, what kind of year he was having. But he goes, I'm pretty sure that Joe Thomas, who's one hell of a lineman, probably got all pro a couple more years than maybe he would have, because of the fact that he was the one guy that comes to everybody's mind as kind of like that model offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And so he got votes. And it wasn't about who had the best year. It was about who had established themselves with a reputation as being one of the best players technique-wise and overall. So it's a lot of it is contingent upon, and I've seen this happen before, and even with the broadcasters, they led a lot of, with the team broadcasters, they all had a vote for a lot, you know, for all NBA, for Defensive Player of the Year, and they kind of cut it up and say, you get these to vote for this and this, you get to this and this, and between the entire broadcasting group, they all had votes. But with the players, it's like, it depends on when you ask them. I mean, if they were, you know, just after practice, or they, you know, just after a game and they got a vote,
yeah,
I'm sure these guys aren't the best time to the best time to do it, in my mind, is when they're all on an airplane. Get them on an airplane when they're going on a 3.5-hour flight and say, take some time. You're not going anywhere for the next 3.5 hours. Don't think about it the whole flight if you don't want to, but at least think about it and make some smart decisions here.
But who is walking off the court and saying, 3 dudes then walked off the court and went, oh yeah, Jason Terry definitely gets an all-star vote.
Is this more of a product of them voting for themselves, like Kerr mentioned?
I don't think Jason Terry would have ever voted for himself. Now, Ben Simmons, after reading the article and not ever seeing him play in the NBA, I think it's possible, but he had 3. To Barry's point, 3.
Yeah.
What, 2 of your boys are going to vote you in? That's just a bad look.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Quentin, you want to get in here. You are lucky caller number 1 on the day, and you want to talk about Steve Kerr.
Yes.
What's up?
Call number 1.
Yep.
What's up, Quinn?
Hey, I had a couple of comments on that. What Steve Kerr made. I think he has a great point about the players making a mockery of it. But first and foremost, I don't understand why the players even voted. To be honest with you, I mean, isn't he just regular people like you and I?
So to answer your question,
All-Star game?
To answer your question, Quinton, what happened was a lot of people, again, to avoid exact situations like this, they felt like it was a popularity contest. And guys who are the most popular in jersey sales and otherwise might get a boatload of votes and might not be having an all-star caliber year. Not that they're not an all-star a caliber player in their past or possibly in their future, but they might not be having a good year. A lot of times what happened was you see a guy like Blake Griffin this year, hurt for a majority of the first half of the season, but yet in the all-star balloting, he's one of the top two big men in the Western Conference, and people are like, what the? So this was an attempt to try and address that, I think.
Right. But also, another comment I had was, you know, you hear a lot of people saying that this is more like a popularity contest or whatever. I mean, obviously, if you're balling out there and you're helping your team be successful, I mean, you're going to be pretty popular. And yes, people want to pay to go see this big time guy coupled with other superstars and see what kind of damage they can do to the other side of the equation. So I agree with that. You know, people want to go see big time guys, and not just, as you mentioned earlier, some guys that really have no business even there. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, nobody's clamoring to get tickets to the All-Star game to watch Jason Terry light it up on the floor.
I think Jason Terry's rational enough, though, to say, I didn't vote for me, and no, I deserve to be there.
I'm just saying it's ridiculous that he would get any All-Star votes. You know, there's guys that you can say, like Eric Gordon. You know, there's guys that would be like, well, you know, he's not a starter. He's fading a little. Maybe you vote for him. Maybe you don't. You know, the Rockets can make a great case for why he should be. There's that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then there's Jason Terry. Why is that dude getting a vote? It's literally wasted votes.
Without question. I think that's the crux of what Steve Kerr was getting to. When you look at, it's one thing to say a guy might have voted for himself or a guy got a single vote. When you're talking about multiples, and on both sides of the equation, as I look at them, there were multiples. And if I start naming names and said, stop me when you think you got one that might be an all-star, I'm not sure I'm going to hit on anyone that you're going to stop me on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this and thinking, man, he's absolutely right. The more you delve into this thing and you look at, I understand if a guy just got one vote, take them out, because that could be either a guy voting himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like, a, you know, one fluky thing. When you talk multiples, you talk about Michael Beasley got six votes.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard got six votes. So they got the same amount of votes right there, right? But Quincy Acey got three votes in the East. Jason Terry, like you said, got three. Sean Kilpatrick got three from the Brooklyn Nets.
Come on, man. Acey is a beast.
Right, he's a big dude, and he's a banger. He's not an all-star. This is like
Eric Gordon got eight votes. This is a Travis Sham mockery.
Eric Gordon should have got more than eight votes.
You're damn right he should have.
And I've been saying that all along, but this is the same reason why when people on Twitter told me Montrezl Harrell should be an all-star.
Hold on, Patrick Beverly got one vote. What the hell is going on now? Well,
Pat loves him some Pat. That's what's going on. All right, we got plenty more show to get to. Edgar, we see you. We'll get to you next, and we'll wrap this thing up and put a bow on it and get it ready for the Blitz. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock till we turn it over to Fred and AJ in the Blitz. I just wanted to be clear on this. There are three... The league, in order to be more fair to the players having good years and not be a popularity contest, as we talked about in the previous segment, media was allowed to vote, people that cover the team on a regular basis. Then the players themselves were allowed to vote. Then the fans were allowed to vote. And then they were segmented, and then percentages taken, and there was a system in place to calculate. In the case of a tie, and because we've never seen ties before, because it was just a fan vote, there's no way there's going to be a tie with millions upon millions of people voting. This year, there were two ties. In the Eastern Conference, Isaiah Thomas tied with DeMar DeRozan, and the tiebreaker is the fan vote. DeRozan had more votes. He got in. And in the same thing in the Western Conference, there was a tie between Curry, Westbrook, and Harden. And when the tiebreaker was fan vote, Westbrook was the odd man out. So
yeah,
the system is definitely still flawed. Westbrook deserves to be in.
I mean, he does, but I wouldn't say it's that part of it is flawed. You let the fans decide, dude. If the fans don't want to see him, the fans don't want to see him.
But the reason why, didn't the players lobby for this? Lobby to get the vote? And
yes, to be it? Able to make a vote.
Well, I mean,
and then how much
responsibility does the players
have? And then five
have?
Of them voted for Trevor Ariza.
Well, see.
Inexplicably. I don't know.
They deserve a good portion of the
and I'm looking responsibility. At the, I'm looking at the player vote, and the player vote seemed to have it right, too. They had Westbrook, Harden, Curry. So from that standpoint alone, I mean, it's tough. To me, tiebreaker should have either been the media because they pay attention every single night, or the players themselves if they took it seriously, and that's a big if.
Why should the media and the players get the tiebreak?
Because the fans are going to vote with their heart.
The fans are what drives this.
I understand that, but they're also going to vote with their heart and not with the, you know, not they're not going to be, they didn't go to the Barry Laminack school of analyzing statistics to make a case, right? They don't spend their time delving into the numbers. So they might look at, like we were talking about, they may be looking at a Steph Curry thinking he's a two-time MVP, but Steph Curry's numbers are way down from where they've been in terms of when you compare it to two guys that are having seasons like Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, but it's like when Kobe got in, the fans wanted to see Kobe. All right, give them what they want.
Now, I understand if you want to see Kobe in the twilight of his career and it's his last season in the NBA, that's one thing.
But it doesn't, like, if the fans want to see Kobe in his twilight, fine. If they don't want to see Westbrook, then that's okay, too. If the fans would rather see Curry, and we're just talking about starting, it's not like you're not going to see Westbrook. So.
Right, because every team's pretty much going to be represented with at least one player.
Well, when do they usually get it wrong anyway? I think Yao Ming got a lot of heat for getting the
vote.
Well,
that was because
people in China Barry, were voting. Nick, you just touched on something. Remind me to ask Coach McHale if he'll tell the story, and I'm not sure that he will.
Uh-huh.
But he knows of at least one situation in the history of All-Star balloting where the numbers were completely skewed to get a guy in that didn't deserve it and screw over a guy that did. And without giving me every detail, said that powers that be may have... No, it didn't even involve... It was back when McHale was playing.
Oh.
But it didn't... The powers that be made sure that that wasn't going to be an issue with
Larry Bird and World Be Free. No? All right. I don't know. I've got nothing.
Go ahead.
Are we going to go to the call? You want to do the call?
We'll get to Edgar. Edgar, real topical. Quick on All-Star balloting. Edgar, what's up?
Hi, guys. Y'all kind of touched on a point just now, talking about, you know, really what's the matter with the players think. It's really the fans. You know, they pay the salaries. They pay to go see games. They watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. But why, when you have a tie break, why does it go straight to statistics? The best player gets it. I mean, it's all stars.
Yeah, I think that's where I was going, Edgar. I'm with you. I'm kind of saying if there's a tie, then let's not go to the popularity contest. Let's go to the numbers that state that the two guys having the best season are Westbrook and Harden.
Edgar and Joel.
Yes.
The whole reason the All-Star game exists is for?
Oh, now you don't know that. It's not simply for the fans.
It is for the fans.
No, it isn't.
This is a fan event.
No, it's the entire event. Over All-Star weekend is, yes. But at the same time, All-Star games are also to reward guys for having a phenomenal season for the first half of the season.
I'm okay with
that
them having
that sounds ridiculous. I think you just literally made
same
that
thing
up.
No, I did not. In baseball, they do the same thing.
That's
in
ridiculous.
In baseball, it's about the guys having the best numbers during the first half of a season.
It's always about the fans.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, but why not eliminate the bonus for making an All-Star game and just get a bonus on your contract for doing good. I mean, it should be for the fans, and it should be fair. The best player should be there, and the most entertainment value should be there also.
I mean, I don't mind the fans contributing it, but in a tie-breaking situation like Joel mentions, I wouldn't mind the fans not being a part of that vote. You know what I mean? Because you do
you
want
guys
someone
are just haters.
You do want
you're
someone
just
who's paying attention
because we're not agreeing with you.
Who's paying attention to the game? I think that's the kind of. I think it's the reason why the head coaches are the ones who vote in the reserves, right? Because who's going to pay attention to the reserves more
absolutely
than the
right.
coaches?
That's absolutely right. That's a great point, Nick. Because that's why they have the coaching staff that's chosen to coach that team, who again have their finger on the pulse of who's playing great that year. They make the selections for the guys that are most deserving this year based on how they're playing for their team. That's absolutely right. All right, so before we break for the day, boys, the other story that's out there we haven't touched on, a couple people mentioned it on Twitter, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Ben Roethlisberger, who's going to turn 35 in March, was on his weekly radio show. Says he's going to evaluate his future this offseason and hasn't decided if he's going to play next year or not. Your thoughts?
I think Big Ben has a flair for the dramatic. I think that, I don't know right offhand what his contract is, but I would imagine he's not walking away from any money. Well, right here, do $19 million next season. You think Big Ben's walking away from $19 million?
I wouldn't.
Well, hell no. Nobody would.
I'd wear the ski boot if I had to.
But isn't it great that you can have people begging you on Twitter, oh, please stay. Please stay. Don't leave us, Ben. Don't leave us. Like, that all feeds into, I think, what I surmise is the personality of Big Ben.
Or.
Needing that attention.
Get this, guys. Let him go and then get him.
Texans!
No.
Shoot.
Let him go and then get him Brock's personal cell phone number and say, I need to talk to you about following my lead. Because then he'll retire too, and there'll be more sunshine and rainbows in Houston, Texas.
That wouldn't bother me a bit.
He's going to play, man. And when you just gave me that number too, if he's making 19 next year.
He's doing 19
mil. He says, I was talking it over with my wife last night. I've talked about it with my agent and a coach about it. I'm going to take the offseason to evaluate, to consider all options, to consider health and family, things like that. You're not telling me that when he talked it over with his wife last night, she didn't go, but honey, you're going to make $19 million next year.
Yeah.
There's no way she said, yeah, hang him up.
Yeah, I was thinking about walking away. I could think of 19 million reasons why you're not walking away.
Honey, when you're on road trips, I walk the mall.
Take your ass to work.
Yeah, when you're on road trips, I walk the mall. So therefore, you're not walking anywhere until after that 19 mil comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line. All right, well, we appreciate you guys being a part of the show. DJ, we know you like to chime in. Unfortunately, we ran short on time. So if you want, hit us up tomorrow. We'll be here every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4.
How the hell are you going to wait till it's time to go to call in? DJ, we don't have time.
No,
call back tomorrow, DJ, 1 o'clock.
Barry did enough squeezing in for the day after the Dr. Dre story hit his
1 o'clock,
his
DJ Hollygrove, call back tomorrow, man.
1 to 4 every day, ESPN 97.5, the three of us, the likely suspects, all back tomorrow. For now, it's Fred, it's AJ, it's The Blitz, it's next, ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.